Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan. Actually, Mark Holland in for Lynette this week and taking your calls at 800-465-8770, a rousing first hour under the belt and getting ready for hour number two. Your calls at 800-465-8770. Several people we were discussing in that first hour mentioning the importance of a blood test you guys did. And tell us a little bit more about the free health analysis appointment available.
You know, that's one of the great things you've offered, Jerry, and we've kind of continued in that realm. But as I've been sitting in my office and thinking about all the things we offer right now, I do have a few concerns, and I will raise them with you privately. But for the moment, a health analysis visit is the first physical contact with our clinics, any one of them, where you come in and you actually visit with either one of our health advocates or with a physician, depending upon which clinic you go to. And you sit down and we give you an idea about what we can offer you. It's not the same as any other physician who is treating a disease. Our goal is to try to gauge what is down the road for you before it happens and help prevent it from happening. And in order for us to be successful, we ask that you do a blood test, and we're constantly changing the offering of that initial blood test. Now, there is a charge for that. It's about $595, and it includes a lot of different things, more than a basic panel anywhere that you'll get today.
Absolutely.
And what we have added now to that is a DNA age. So we haven't increased the cost of that initial panel, but we've added a new $300 test to that panel, which includes information about your genetics, your DNA, your biological age, your chronological age, the state of methylation of your DNA, what is your pre-metabolic index, and we need more time to explain to the patients what that is. Yep. But and with that, they will do an in-body for you. So the free visit is an in-body, which is a measurement of visceral fat to muscle ratio, and a blood test to tell us whether you are heading towards prediabetes or not. And there's no charge for any of that, and a 1 hour visit with a doctor. If at the end of that you are interested in what we provide, and I think you should be because, I mean, you came, there's something that brought you, then you go ahead and pay this $600, which Jerry has in the past stated, you know, a couple of $1,000 blood test, really, and maybe even more today, I don't know. But it's value. It's really, really valuable to get this. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. Once you do this test, you come back in a month and we go over everything with you. And in the back end, you don't know how many people have been involved in getting this ready for you. But there are many people, our professional people, hours that goes into preparing for that first visit with you. And at that visit, we not only show you graphically, we educate you about it in person. We tell you what we see. What we see and what it means to see those numbers, because it's easy to say, oh, hey, that's normal. And sometimes there's so much, it's a little overwhelming. So what I do when I like to do these, don't do many of these anymore, is I home in on what is the most important message. One really, really critical message that you must take home with you from that. and how I can help you with that. And then I work on the others at the back end. Remember, I can't do it for you. You have to do it. But my role is to provide you with the tools so that you will succeed in your mission.
And the encouragement. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Always that. And then if you do decide to proceed with us, then you become a member, and we will then do quarterly tests for you more frequently if we need to. We have many, many specialty tests we are looking at that you will be you will have available to you. You do pay for the specialty tests, but they are accessible in case you have something that our lab doesn't do, and we do need to check on that.
And your membership fees cover all of the labs that we can do in our lab.
That's
so you can get them as often as you need them, and there is no extra fee for the labs.
Correct.
But it's only if we have to send it out to somebody else. My rule is, if I have to pay for it, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. But the offerings have increased over the course of time. We started with, you know, basic hormone replacement therapy, functional medicine approach. We still do that. That is still our bread and butter. We look at your nutritional status, how we can help you and your body deal with the issues that it is seeing on a daily basis. So we make you stronger on the inside to handle those things. As Jerry loves to say, and I borrowed this phrase from him, stack the odds in your favor and then play the game.
That's right.
And that's what we do for you. We stack the odds in your favor slowly and slowly and slowly, building blocks. But we don't do, we're not just a hormone replacement clinic. That's the basic thing we do. That's our bread and butter. But on top of that, it's your nutrition. What is your family risk factor? What is your DNA age? What is your IV nutritional therapy status? What is your cardiovascular risk? What is your genetic risk?
What is your body fat percentage? That's the single biggest bugaboo.
Fat
is what's killing America. You realize not only are we the fattest industrialized nation on Earth, we are the only industrialized nation on Earth that has a dropping lifespan.
Yes.
Everybody had COVID. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't blame COVID. Everybody had COVID. Every industrialized nation has drug problems. But we're the only ones in which the lifespan is going down instead of up. Mm-hmm. And that's because we're the fattest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And people, I don't like that thing about, well, you can't fat shame. No, we need to. We need to let people know that is killing you. You know, well, it's not that we don't like fat people.
Yeah.
We don't know what fat is doing to nice people.
Yeah.
And it cripples and then it kills.
Yeah, it's more of an education about the implications, because it's always thought of in the beauty world and in beauty context. It's not that. It's actually a disease-causing agent.
It is.
And you're fostering it and you're allowing it to grow.
Yeah, we have to start looking at being overweight like we have learned to look at smokers.
Yes. And, you know, what I've started saying on the beautiful news show, Jerry, recently is that wellness is not a chance. It's a choice. Okay. And today, more than ever, the choice is in your reach. Mm-hmm. You can choose to age well and stay healthy or not.
Yep. Well, you know, one of the suggestions I have made, which, of course, has been thoroughly ignored by those in power, is that because it would actually change something. And that is, we should make your insurance premiums dependent not just on your age. It should be on your age and your percentage of body fat.
Hmm.
And the higher percentage of body fat, the higher your medical insurance premium should be, because the more you're going to need the medical care system. The more dementia, the more heart attacks, the more strokes, the more diabetes, the more degenerative arthritis. I mean, all of the things that are crippling and killing and raising the cost of medical care are all increased by percentage of body fat.
I do want to add here, as Dr. Mixon is saying this, that we both, him, you know, he taught me this, that weight is a medical problem. We recognize that. And we need to treat it like a chronic medical problem, like we treat high blood pressure.
It's like a chronic disease.
Yes.
Because it is what triggers so many other secondary diseases. But the primary disease,
yes,
that causes heart attacks and strokes and diabetes,
yes,
and degenerative arthritis is being overweight.
Right. We recognize that it's not a matter of just self-control. We're not saying that.
Nope.
We're saying that we know it's a chronic medical problem, but we need to treat it like that.
And it needs aggressive treatment. We need to really go after it. You know, nobody having the doctor say, oh, well, you're a few pounds overweight, you ought to lose some. That's not adequate. That does not motivate anybody to change much.
No, my patient told me the other day that when she took some labs to the doctor said, well, let's just wait and watch. And I go, what are you waiting and watching?
Well, he's waiting and watching for her to get sick enough to go to the hospital where he can do something.
Oh, now is the time to act. She said, well, that's why I brought it to you. Like, okay.
Good. Let's do something about it.
Well, the first step in some of this health is the free health analysis appointment. It includes two free tests, and you can book your appointment right now by calling 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online and schedule your appointment at lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. There is a clinic near you in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. So check that out and book your free health analysis appointment today. Let's move on to some calls right now. We'll be taking your calls as well at 800-465-8770. But hopefully we still have Rob in Tukwila on the phone. He has an interesting question about a special kind of therapy. Rob, what is your question for the doctors today?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Howdy.
I heard Jerry say last week. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Can you? Oh, okay. Something about if you have a known cancerous tumor, you probably don't want to go on senolytic cell therapy and or rapamycin. So here's my situation. I'm 80 years old, physically very, very fit. I am a BRCA2 carrier. I have out of 18 cores in my prostate, a very tiny amount of dysplasia in one core, and at Fred Hutch they said let's just watch it with PSA and PT MRIs, which I've been doing. Everything's behaving itself. My question is, should I consider your cell senescence therapy and or rapamycin?
Boy, you put me on the spot with that one.
Good.
Because I was just discussing this with the doctors last week.
Yeah.
Tuesday of this week.
Yeah.
We were kind of going over this. let me start with something that I would do with you right now. Okay. I would put you on a very high dose of resveratrol. I would put you on a PDE5 inhibitor like tadalafil, and I would probably put you on progesterone. Okay, those three.
Not testosterone?
Oh, I didn't mention testosterone yet.
Okay.
That's going to depend on what your testosterone level is. Okay. So, but you've already told me you're a BRCA2.
Right.
And you have a prostate cancer. And so what I'm looking for are things that we know help prostate cancers to die and to decrease the risk of turning that area of dysplastic prostate into an overt cancer. So three things there. The resveratrol increases the rate of apoptosis. It causes the cells, the cancer cells, to die faster. So rather than promoting their growth, it actually helps them to die and commit suicide. So we want that. So high dose resveratrol. And by when I say high dose, I mean in excess of 1,000 milligrams a day. Okay. And I might even put you on two of the 350 milligrams twice a day. It'll give you 1,400 milligrams a day.
That's a whopping
dose. It's a big whack. Well, see, I take three myself just so I don't get the prostate cancer.
Okay. Right. What is your PSA, sir?
My PSA actually, yes.
Not my PSA runs 2.9, 3.1 right in there. My
so it's not bad.
Size is 66 cc's. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I feel lucky to be alive.
Yes, you are.
Wow.
You are. Yeah. So, you know, the resveratrol will help prevent that enlargement. The progesterone turns out that it is also an mitogen for prostate tissues. It actually helps the stromal cells to not become malignant. So progesterone is a protective compound. When you were young, you had about as much progesterone as a woman. But by your age, your progesterone is probably undetectable. And that disinhibits the alpha estrogen receptors in the prostate, which in turn helps to immortalize prostate cells, make them live and not die. So I really like progesterone in men in your situation. And then the PDE5 inhibitors. Interestingly, the PDE5 inhibitors, by inhibiting the phosphodiesterase in the tissues of the prostate, prevents the cancer cells from growing and metastasizing. The phosphodiesterase is very, very rich in cancer tissue. And so by inhibiting that production, we actually slow down the growth of the tumor and we help keep it from spreading outside of where it is, keep it localized. So, and in fact, in men that use things like tadalafil, it cuts the risk of catching prostate cancer by 50%. So they're very, very protective. So those three things I can say right off the top of my head, those are three things I'd be giving you no matter what. Now, things like testosterone, things like the dasatinib and quercetin, things like the rapamycin, those are going to take a lot more thinking and talking about your individual situation and your appetite for risk. So we got to take a break. You hear the music? Sit tight. We'll be right back.
Okay. Call in your questions now at 800-465-8770. As we come back in just a moment with more of Leading Edge Medicine.
Sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
And welcome back to more Leading Edge Medicine. And there are the doctors are standing up again. That one brought them to their feet.
Well, yeah. Well, two things there. One is I need to be on my feet and be alert to talk about this next section with this gentleman.
I know.
It's a controversial area in which there are a series of unknowns. And the other thing, of course, is that song.
Yeah.
I don't love the sound of the wheels, Joy. I was in Amsterdam this past summer.
Uh-huh.
And you will not get hit by a car, but you may be run over by bicycles at any given moment. Those people.
They're fast, huh?
They're fast and they're crazy and they will not give the right of way to a pedestrian. So you better be ready to run.
Okay.
So I think the sound of their wheels have driven all those bicyclists in Amsterdam crazy.
Mm-hmm. But anyway. Okay. And Rob, are you still on the line, Rob?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right. One other thing about Amsterdam, just for fun, though. I think part of the reason that they're crazy on the bicycles is the smell of marijuana in the streets there is so high.
Hang on.
They're all stoned out of their mind just driving down the street.
Well, but that's supposed to make them calmer, not crazier.
Ah, but what does it cause with bicycles?
Oh, I'm coming. I get some peanuts. I'm coming with you. No.
Ah, dear. Okay, well, which one of these should we talk about first? Let's talk about the senescent cell therapy. The dasatinib that we use with the senescent cell therapy is actually an anti-neoplastic. It's an anti-cancer drug.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, it on its face, if it's going to do anything, it should help to kill the cancers. So that's a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another pro is we know that high levels of senescent cells in the system promote the growth and the spread of cancers. So once more, that says we might want to use the dasatinib and the quercetin to lower the senescent cell load in your body because high levels promote the growth of cancers and promote the promotion of new cancers. So those two things argue in favor.
Mm.
Now let me get to the other side of the coin. And this is why practice of medicine is not always easy. All right. when the senescent cell is there, it's an anti-growth factor. It's telling the healthy cells in your body, don't grow, don't repair, don't replace yourself. And that's part of why senescent cells make us go downhill. That's why we don't like them. They make your brain and your heart and your lungs and your muscles and your bones actually stop repairing. But that same process is taking place inside the tumor, in theory, because those same chemicals are being absorbed by your healthy cells, but also the tumor. And so the worry is, if we drop your senescent cell load too low, we might actually disinhibit the growth of a tumor. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we don't want your cell too high, because high is preventing you from being as healthy as you could be and actually promotes new tumor growth. But too low, in theory at least, might cause the tumors to grow faster. So the question is, what is the proper amount? What is the proper load? Okay. If I had a decent test that would tell me how many senescent cells you have in your tissues, I'd say, I want this load to be right about where it was when you were 20 years old. I don't want it suppressed to zip, but I'd love to get it down to about where it was when you were 20 and you were able to heal and grow.
Right now. Get in fucking
Excuse me, folks.
But somebody in the background.
You can't use that word on the radio.
Right. I do apologize.
They will take me off the air if they hear that word very often. So, okay. So on the one hand, too much is bad. Too little is bad. Ideally, I'd like you where you were in around 20 to 25, because that is the point at which all of your cancer risks were the lowest they're going to be in your life. Mm. Okay, that's your sweet spot. Here's the problem. We don't have a simple test that I can do that will tell me how many senescent cells are in your tissues. Mm. That test doesn't exist as yet. And it drives everybody in this entire field crazy, because we all want a test that's going to tell us how well we're doing and when do I need to treat you again. Do you need to be treated once a year, three times a year, every month? Mm-hmm. I have to guess, because I don't have a good test to monitor. Now, in December, I am going back to the Buck Clinic, and I am going to be spending a day with biomarker experts, and we're going to be trying to come up with a panel that we could do.
Okay.
But right now, that panel doesn't exist, and I'm hoping against hope that somebody really smart in the research world will be able to give us a little more guidance when I'm in Sausalito in
December.
In December.
Okay. Yeah, you always come back with something new from there, so I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I was agonizing as to whether to go or not, because it's 6 days in early December. Mm. And on the 12th, my wife is leaving for 18 days to China. And I hate taking 6 days out of the time she's going to be here when I know she's going to leave and I'm going to be without her for 18 days. So, but I decided at least to go for the biomarker days.
Okay.
So then rapamycin.
Yes, rapamycin, Dr. Mixon, rapamycin.
Hey, Rob, Rob, turn your radio down.
Yeah, we've got some feedback there from the radio.
Okay.
Rapamycin is even iffier than the dasatinib and quercetin, although I'd be kind of inclined to use rapamycin and quercetin. And the reason I'm inclined to do it is the best indication I've got so far from the published studies is that 3 days of treatment should lower your senescent cell load roughly 30%.
Okay, wait. You said rapamycin and quercetin, but you meant dasatinib and quercetin.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Dasatinib and quercetin. Mm-hmm. The best studies I've got indicate that it will lower the load about 30% with 3 days of therapy. Mm-hmm. So if I lower it by 30%, let's take an artificial number of 100. And so we give you 3 days, we take you to 70%. But then the next week, I treat it for three more days, but I take 30% of 70. Mm-hmm. So now I'm dropping it by 21 points. I'm down to 49. Mm. And then when I treat it that next 3 days, the following week, I'm going to take 30% of 49. Okay. So I'm going to drop it about 12. Mm. So now I've got you down in the 30s.
Okay.
So I've reduced you by about 70% in 9 days of therapy. But older people have 50, 60 times as much as a 20-year-old.
Sure.
So we're probably still have only dropped you down to a 40-year-old or so level. That's my best guesstimate. Mm. So my best guesstimate right now is, yes, it would be safe to give you the dasatinib therapy. That's assuming my guesstimates are accurate. Mm. But they're guesstimates. Mm-hmm. I don't have a good measuring tool. And that's what makes me hesitate. Okay. Now, over to rapamycin. We're taking a lot of time here.
Well, but these are important things.
They are important.
They're new things, and not many people know about them.
That's right. The rapamycin slows the production of senescent cells dramatically. There are some indications that it lowers your level of senescent cells, but not nearly as effectively as the dasatinib does. So if I'm going to use rapamycin, I'm not going to lower your levels as efficiently and as fast as I can with the dasatinib. On the other hand, if I lower them with the dasatinib and then put you on the rapamycin, I can probably keep you from redeveloping them as quickly and not need the rapamycin again as soon. But once more, we're at that we don't have a great measuring tool. So it's all based on my clinical judgment, how you feel, and my best guesstimates at that given time. And I hate that. I really hate that. I love to measure and know. And this is a field where I know I can make you better, but I don't know how often I need to treat you with each of them. Does that make sense? It's the limitation of what we actually know and can do in medicine today.
Yep.
Right. So if we recap, you know, the things that you can do right off the bat is resveratrol.
Yes.
And high doses, we have a 350. So would you say two or three caps a day for him?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I take three all the time. And
you
I'm
said
not,
four for him.
Yeah. And I'm not BRCA positive.
Yeah.
And I'd push him even heavier than me. I'd take him up to 1,400 milligrams a day.
Right.
Because he is positive and he's high risk.
Yeah.
And then a PDE5 inhibitor,
yeah,
because
hopefully.
We know that'll slow down the growth and it helps, it lowers the risk of converting to prostate cancer,
right.
Cuts the risk in half.
Yeah.
So those two are, you know, are a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yep. Very much appreciated. And I sincerely apologize for my indiscretion of the four-letter words.
Sorry. Well, you know, I used a word that starts with S and ends with T that refers to somewhat scatological comment. And the administration of the radio station called me up and told me bad things. So, they wanted to spank me. All right.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that opens up a line for you. If you're listening today, you got a question for Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat, you can call right now with that question. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. We'll be back in just a moment.
Race is on and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there and I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratched for another sake.
race is on and it looks like heartaches and the winner loses all.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics with Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, taking your calls today at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. No one currently on the phone, so waiting for some more calls to roll in here. And I was asking the doctors during the break if they could ask, or I could ask one of my questions, which is totally unrelated to anything we've talked about yet so far today. Not nearly as complex and complicated as some of the subjects.
Actually, it's more complex than you think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my question was about omeprazole and long-term use of that. Any pros, cons?
Because lots of cons.
I find if I don't take it, antacid gets pretty bad.
Well, what is long-term? How long have you been on it?
Years.
Oh,
years.
Wow. It was never meant for to be taken.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I just
It was originally approved for 3 months.
Okay. Well, and I took Zantac for a while, and then that had all these recalls, and I guess they have a new version of that now that's okay to take. But
Well, the one you're on is many times more potent than the Zantac that you recalled.
Yeah.
All right.
It works.
It does.
It does. But what is it doing?
It turns off your stomach acid very efficiently, and that's the good news. So that is the pro. Mm-hmm. Okay. The cons are somewhat different. It doesn't stop reflux. It stops the acid reflux. But the other digestive juices in your stomach still come up your esophagus. Mm. And so they can still trigger gastroesophageal cancer.
Mm.
Okay, because the irritation of the lower esophagus from those digestive juices is not good. So one of the things we need to do is to stop the reflux. Mm. And I have noticed that you're doing the not primary thing to help that, and that is you're losing weight.
Mm. Yes. Okay.
Because there is a weakness in the diaphragm. The diaphragm is that big muscle that goes horizontally across the body, and it separates the chest from the abdomen. Mm. And so the heart and the lungs are above the diaphragm, and the stomach and the pancreas and the liver and the guts are all below it. So, but the esophagus, the food tube, has to go through the diaphragm. You swallow food, it goes down your throat, it follows that esophagus down, and then it has to go through an opening in the diaphragm to get things into your stomach. So that opening in some people is made bigger than others. Mm-hmm. Some folks have small eyes or small noses, and others have big eyes and big noses. Well, some folks have that defect in the diaphragm of various sizes. Mm-hmm. And if your size is too big, then you don't have an effective valve at the top of the stomach. Mm. So stuff comes back up out of the stomach into the esophagus, and that's what causes the heartburn.
Mm.
Right. When you get overweight, you don't just put fat on your belly. You put fat inside your belly. Mm. Now, that fat inside the belly is a problem for many reasons. One, it's pro-inflammatory because it causes a lot of inflammation. But it also is simply mechanical. Your belly can't extend to the back. Your back is not flexible. You got those big rigid muscles around your spine. Your flanks don't go out very well. You can put fat on them, but really those muscles won't let it go. The rectus muscles in front are trying to hold everything in. So every pound of fat you put inside your belly is increasing the pressure in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that increased pressure inside your belly pushes everything back up that esophagus, up that weak valve at the top. Okay, because that's the escape valve. That's the pressure release. So you're using some medication and some lifestyle changes, and you're losing your weight. That's the single most important thing in your control right now. Mm. Get your belly fat as low as you can. I want you to have a nice, flat, scaphoid belly with almost no fat inside. That decreases the pressure inside. And that should help decrease the reflux.
Well, let me tell you, though, too, another symptom of the reason I started taking the omeprazole was some swallowing issues. It wouldn't mm-hmm. take much if I would eat a little bit too fast. Certain kinds of food, like I found of all things turkey, mm-hmm. would eat those things too fast. I would start to choke.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said it was because of GERD and because of – and so that's why I would take the – and since I've taken the omeprazole, that is completely gone.
Good.
Never had that very alarming symptom. I mean,
sure,
I had to get up from a meal and go somewhere and, you know.
Yeah.
It was not comfortable.
No. So, you know, when you decrease the inflammation, you decrease the irritation in the esophagus, you've got a whole bunch of symptoms that are better. So that's the good news. But when you turn off your stomach acid, you do not absorb the positively charged ions very well. So iron, sodium, potassium, magnesium.
And I have low iron. I have low-level anemia.
Yeah. All of those things are not absorbed well. Mm. And so if you can't absorb iron or any of the B vitamins or, you know, the sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, you have electrolyte issues. But the low B vitamins can cause cognitive decline, peripheral neuropathies, balance problems, coordination problems. So if you're going to take something like that, you have to really, really increase your intake of the
And B I have started taking iron. It causes some constipation, though. So
yeah,
take a little bit of iron. But and it's strange for a man to have to take iron. But I am taking some iron.
But
and
you're not
B.
absorbing it well. Yeah.
That's the problem. So,
sure.
Okay, well, enough of me. Let's get on to another call, and hopefully your call at 800-465-8770. We have Shirley in Kent. She has a question about post-cataract surgery. Hi, Shirley. What's your specific question?
Hello, Shirley.
Thank you so much for being there. I've enjoyed you guys, you know, the whole 20 years or however long you've been there. It's just been awesome. But anyway,
well,
my question came up a couple of weeks ago when it was a recording, actually, and you were gone, and somebody called in about their eyes, and it was like they had Vaseline smeared over their eyes. And I get this throughout the day. Sometimes it's when I'm reading, sometimes it's when I'm just working and just going around doing stuff. And I get this strange, and I never knew how to tell the doctor what it was, but it literally is like Vaseline smeared on my eyes. And I think it started after I had cataract surgery, which was probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, quite a while ago anyway. So I just wondered if there is a treatment for that. Should I tell the doctor now that I know I have a way to express it?
Yes, you should. You know, clearly this is a question for the ophthalmologist, not the aging doctor. I spend a fair bit of time hanging around, you know, with Dr. Gilbert. So, so I'm not an ophthalmologist, but I sit next to one sometimes on the radio show.
I'll wait till he comes in sometime. And
thing, I know a guy who knows a guy.
Yeah, I know a guy who knows a guy who gets stuff that falls off a truck. Yeah.
I have another question, too, that maybe that you can
One second, though. Before you go any further, let me put out a bat signal here.
Okay.
Dr. Gilbert, if you're listening to the show, and I know you listen to us a lot, call in. And we'll see if we can get this lady back on the air while you're on the air, and the two of you can help solve her problem. I know that Dr. Michael Gilbert, who is a great ophthalmologist, and he listens to the show when he's not on it. So he is in town, if he's not off on vacation or something like that, he might call in. And if so, we'll get you call back in and chat with him in a three-way. Okay.
All right. Fabulous. Then I have another quick question. This came up, I don't remember. It wasn't last week. I think it might have been the week before. Because I tried to call in before and I never could get in, so that's why I'm late. Anyway, they called in about waking up every couple of hours during the night to go pee. And you mentioned something about taking a low dose of progesterone. So I've made an appointment to see my primary care doctor and ask about that. But I just wondered, how much is a low dose of progesterone? So I know what to ask for.
Well, here's the issue. That is something we do with men to prevent the prostate from enlarging.
For women. Go ahead.
I understand. We'll get there in just a moment. We do that for men to keep the prostate from enlarging. With women, we usually have more than just progesterone. We usually use an estrogen and progesterone in women.
Okay.
Because estrogen has a very salubrious effect on both the vagina and the bladder. And so, Samara, this is your area.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk to her about it?
Absolutely. So my You know, absolutely. With us, we do both. Well, there's not just two hormones, estrogen and progesterone. We look at the whole hormonal cascade and we'll replace whatever is deficient. But I do see an improvement if my female patients are taking a little bit of progesterone at nighttime. Hard to quantify for you to tell you how much to take. But yeah, I do want to tell you that your primary care is not likely to put you on progesterone alone. They're quite opposed to that, especially if you have a uterus. They feel that women really don't need to replace progesterone as they're getting older. They're okay with estrogen, but with progesterone, for whatever reason, and I know that, you know, in higher doses, it can cause symptoms similar to depression and constipation and weight gain.
Right, and the other problem with it is that frequently the primary care docs or even the obstetricians use a synthetic progestogen instead of real progesterone, and many of the progestogens raise the risk of breast cancer.
Right. Oh. Right. So if you were to go and say, you know, I have bladder issues and I want progesterone, I know that that will not happen.
I didn't really expect it, but I thought I'd give it a try anyway.
But if you said, you know, you have hormonal issues and you are thinking of hormone replacement therapy, then estrogen will be the first one they'll think of. If they do put you on a progesterone at your request, it might be a synthetic one, so you want to be very careful about
That it's real progesterone, not a progestogen. And, of course, if you really want the best care for this, I think I know a clinic. Say longevity something. Longevity Medical Clinic. I think that was it. That's right. I heard there's some really, really good doctors there.
And did you know that we actually have a brand new location?
Yeah, I've heard that. A new building and everything. Awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and someday I'll even get it paid for.
And, you know, the last thing I'll mention on this is if there is, and usually in postmenopausal women, there is vaginal dryness and atrophy in the vaginal canal. We do use our Vitalia treatment that is performed by my master aestheticians, and we recommend a series of three treatments where basically they are providing radio frequency into the vaginal wall that helps with any dripping, any incontinence, any, you know, stress incontinence issues. And that might also help with whatever detrusor or instability, not directly, but maybe indirectly, you might notice that you're not dripping as much. So lots of different things to think about. But if you either you go to a GYN specialist who deals in bladder issues, and I know Overlake Hospital has one. I'm sure University of Washington and other big facilities have them. Go specially there for this issue, and they will tell you the right medication versus not. If you wanting hormones, then you want to come to somebody like us where we can balance the hormones. Whether that'll fix the detrusor instability or not, I can't promise you. Okay?
Okay. Well, fabulous. You guys have been awesome. I will look forward to listen to the rest of your show, and I do love your show. I get up every Saturday morning looking forward to it, so thanks so much for it.
Okay. Thank you,
Shirley.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that opens up a line for you. We do have Gerard we'll talk to after the break. Might be able to fit in one more call after that. 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Back in just a moment. One more call from you at 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. We have Gerard in Bellevue with a call. What's your question for the doctors, Gerard?
Hello, Gerard.
Yeah, good morning. Several years ago, like 10 or 15, I heard over the radio that there had been a report about the advantages of high dosage of niacinamide with regard to arthritis prevention. So for years, I've taken up to 3,000 milligrams a day.
Uh-huh.
And I've just recently had a blood workup, and one of my scores came up a little high. So I quit taking niacinamide, and now I don't know whether to restart it or whether to take it. I wanted to find out if there's anything more recent regarding niacinamide, particularly with regard to arthritis. I'm 82 years old, by the way.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions first. Which one of your lab tests came up high?
Yeah, I was hoping to look that up, and I don't remember. I think it was kidney function, not sure.
Yeah. Liver enzymes.
Liver, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the liver score came up a little high, so I quit taking it for a while. I went in for another test, and it was lowered a little.
Let me ask you.
Back into the normal range. Sure.
Did it help you with your arthritis?
Well, I never had it, so
okay,
I have
I've
that advantage
that.
In my gene pool, yeah. I think. Yeah, okay. And now my knees get a little bit sore, but not. I mean, I'm fortunate that way, I think. And okay. I just wonder if there's anything recent regarding the two niacinamide and arthritis, or whether it's just an old thing that's never been studied or verified.
Well, it's nothing that I have ever investigated or looked at the literature. So,
okay,
you know, it may be there, but it's not on my radar list. So, you know, when I think of niacin in any form, you know, niacinamide being one of the more common ones, the biggest risk is indeed liver injury.
Yes,
you can get elevated liver enzymes, and some forms of it. Niacinamide riboside is being used to raise the energy level within your mitochondria and help your brain and your muscles and so on to function more effectively. But I don't know how much mitochondrial boost you get from niacinamide straight without the niacinamide riboside.
I know. You know, this is a tough one. It does have some anti-inflammatory properties, so maybe that's why he used it for the arthritis.
Decrease the joint pain, yeah.
I have never used it for that reason. The most common uses are for skin, acne, rosacea, that kind of stuff, and if you know that the patient has a B3 deficiency. Niacin also is used in cardiovascular issues, sometimes melanoma prevention, but those are the big common ones. And then, too, we don't want to overdose for too long with a high amount.
And it sounds like he took a pretty good whack for quite a while.
Yes, he did. So, he really did.
Yeah, for several years, and I backed off now for 6 months.
All right.
And I'm thinking about going back to just 1,000 milligrams a day.
And that would probably be more reasonable, and that because it does have a mild anti-inflammatory effect, that might make those joints of yours that are now getting a little sore, might help resolve some of that. Although, you know, I can think of stronger anti-inflammatories I'd go to first.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But other than that, niacinamide's relatively benign, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. No, it's
except for the liver.
Yeah, except for the liver, and you know, you tolerated 3,000 a day for years, and your liver enzymes were up a bit, but then when you stopped, they went back to normal. So it certainly did not do terrible things to you. So, you know, it's not one of those things I generally recommend. On the other hand, I don't really have a basis to tell you don't either.
I would say go ahead and have it measured so that you do have an idea where your labs are. Probably, you know, good to know.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you both, and have a wonderful day.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you,
bye-bye,
Jared. And I think we're probably might have room for one more call. But in the meantime, let's talk once again about the free health analysis appointment. As I've been listening myself the last couple of hours, I can tell I need this free health analysis.
Yes, you do.
Telling you about some of my aches and pains off the air. But,
and as one of our staff, you know, you get special treatments.
I think I do. So I need to take advantage of that. I started taking Relief Factor, and that's helping me a lot, I think.
Wow.
Well, the free health analysis appointment includes two free tests, a blood test and an in-body test. Tell us a little bit about this, these tests again.
I have a love-hate relationship with that machine. That machine now sits in a beautiful room. You can actually go in and privately, you know, sit down on a chair and then prepare to have this test done in the Kirtland office. It measures your body fat and muscle ratio, something that is very, very critical to know. Muscle is the currency of aging. You've heard Dr. Mixon say the myokines that it generates, the brain-derived neurotropic factors. In the past, we used to think it's about 200. Recently, Jerry, you found an article that said it had 600.
Up to 600 different identified. I know for sure there's at least 300, so somewhere between 300 and 600 different compounds produced by working muscle.
That's right. All of us lose muscle mass as we get older, some of us faster than others. But the basic thing is that if you do nothing else but you maintain muscle mass, then you will age better and be healthier as you are getting older. It becomes harder and harder to maintain muscle because we are losing hormones and nutrients as we are getting older. So it's not just a matter of, oh, I'll go out and exercise. It's a matter of what is the balance of hormones that'll help you make muscle as you get older. So we look at that very closely. We look at that at every visit for every patient. And we will do that for free for you for your first visit in the clinic. And once we have that, and then the other test is a blood test where we look at your risk for high sugar or prediabetes, knowing that it's not just a risk factor for diabetes, but that is a marker for chronic inflammation risk, that being the instigator for many chronic diseases, including but not limited to dementia, diabetes, cancer, degenerative joint disease, arthritis, so many different things that begin with this, and it is completely reversible. And so we look at your risk factors and look at the trajectory of where you're headed in your future years. And then we, you know, can basically help change that future for you. If you want to go ahead and change that, then you have to agree to do a blood test. There is a charge of $600 for the blood test. We have added a brand new test without increasing the price of that initial health analysis blood draw. And that's a DNA age test. It basically looks at how you're aging, whether your chronological age matches your biological age or not, whether you have methylation changes, what is happening to your DNA, how much damage is there, what is the epimetabolic index. And that's brand new to us right now. It also looks at APOE genetic markers, whether you're at risk for dementia or not. So there's a lot of different things in that $600, $595 blood test that you will do. That then buys you a 1 hour of doctor time to come back and review your labs with the physician. And they will by then have thought about what they're going to say to you for your visit and come up with a potential program. You still can walk away completely without doing anything, or you can become a patient. And if you choose to become a patient, then we will manage all of the normal changes of aging and help you reduce the risk factors that can aggravate or cause problems for you as you get older.
And basically, you come in, you get your couple of free tests. And then if you want to take our big panel, you'll end up with a 70-plus page. Heavens, with this new one, it's getting closer to 100 every year, I think.
Well, we added a few more things. We deleted a few. We added a few.
That's right. But the reality is our clinic is designed to help you be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, happier, have a better life. If you're perfectly content to slide downhill, if your goal in life is to get slower, fatter, weaker, dumber, sexless, more miserable and depressed, you don't need us. You're headed there anyway. So, you know, just go right ahead. But if you don't like that picture, if you want to turn it around, if you want to be as good as you can be and have the strongest, happiest, most joy-filled life you can manage, you need to come to Longevity Medical Clinic because that's what we do.
Okay, we'll make that appointment today. If you're listening today, call in and make that appointment at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, which spells out 96864. 866-86-YOUNG, or you can also book an appointment online at lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. There is a new clinic near you, or we have a new clinic in Kirkland, has been remodeled, but there are clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. I'll probably book an appointment here myself pretty soon. Mark Holland been filling in for Lynette this week. She will return next week. She's off enjoying Italy, I guess, right now as we speak. So have a great week and stay healthy. And this is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics.